Geek News Central, show number 610 for September 14th, 2010. Geek News Central is sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Citrix GoToMeeting, and Infusionsoft.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, a home of a lot of family-safe tech shows. Hey, we've got a great show lined up for you. Tonight, we're going to talk about 1 gig internet in the USA, software you thought you owned, Boxy and why the switch to Intel, and the YouTube live video experiment. I've got a great show for you. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. Hey everyone, welcome to the show again. My name is Todd Cockburn, and make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content over there. Of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana, all of the longtime listeners of the show, people that have been subscribed for a while. And if you're new, hey, you are automatically a member of the club. You're automatically part of the Ohana here. And hey, thanks and welcome for tuning in. Of course, if you're tuning in from one of our 170 countries worldwide that are, well, essentially a listener from one of the 170 countries worldwide that has subscribed to the show, I want to thank you as well. And keep checking in with me. I appreciate that when you send me emails from remote wild locations, and just gives me hope that the rest of the world is going to be completely dialed in with this show. At some point, we can finish the country count out. Hey, of course, if you're new to the show, make sure you get signed up for the newsletter. The newsletter contains everything that I'm going to talk about during tonight's show, including listener comments and suggestions that have been submitted by listeners and viewers like you. If you've got comments on tonight's show, you can email them to me at geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, or you can call our 24-hour hotline at area code 619-342 7365. You can always email me comments as well. Folks do that all the time. Matter of fact, we got one in email today. So feel free to email again those voice comments if you want, or just regular text comments. We'll cover those at the end of the show. Of course, the main thing is get subscribed to the show. And if you get over to geeknewscentral.com now, you'll see on the subscribe sidebar that there is a new selection. You'll see that the Morning Tech Show is there and listed, where I have an RSS feed. One for iTunes, which iTunes just approved the listing a couple of hours ago, and for Zune Marketplace, Rob was able to get me in there immediately. So I want to thank Rob for getting us in the Zune Marketplace. Had a few issues with the morning show. We'll talk about that here in a few minutes, of course. I got a lot of stuff to cover with you before we get into the regular content. And, you know, just it goes to show the show is growing, because I've starting to got some emails again from folks saying, Todd, you talked about nothing about tech for the first 10 minutes of the show. And, you know, basically, those of you who have been listening for a while, we'll share that with you at the end of the show as well. Of course, if you're watching us on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku or on the Boxy, we want to welcome you to the show from that. And, of course, we're live right now up on justin.tv/geeknews and over on Ustream as well. I don't know what they're trying to sell you tonight, because my secondary connection that I normally watch the downstream is down right now. I think Clearwire Hawaii is having problems. I've got three connections in this house. I've got the Clearwire connection, I've got Verizon DSL, and the commercial cable account, and still not enough bandwidth, but that's the story of my life. And, you know, that's the price you pay for living in Hawaii, but we'll talk about 1 gig internet in a community in Tennessee, which is pretty cool. Okay, so anyway, subscribe to the show, get to sign up for the newsletter. And of course, if you're watching on any of the devices, you know, like the Roku or Boxy, thanks for being here. And of course, if you've been waiting for the Boxy is now on pre-order. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Let's take care of a little business here before we get into the regular content tonight. Of course, big news on the GoDaddy front was that it was announced that GoDaddy is on the block. GoDaddy is for sale. They're expecting up to $1 billion to be offered for GoDaddy. This came as a surprise, and we talked about this on the morning show. But GoDaddy is a longtime sponsor here of the Geekness Central podcast, and of course, it's a great place to get domain names, dedicated servers, virtual dedicated servers, shared hosting accounts, SSL certificates, you name it, they've got it. So go over to GoDaddy.com and take a look at their different products and services. And don't forget your geek here at Geek News Central, because it's real easy. Just go over to GeekNewsCentral.com, click on the Geek GoDaddy promo code link, and you will find all the promo codes that I have available. Here's some good ones for you. Geek5 will save you 15% on any order of $20 or more. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale will get you .com renewals at $7.99. ComSale 2 will get you new .com domains at $7.49. And for those of you that are brand new customers over at GoDaddy.com, Geek 199 will get you $1.99.coms all day long. And that's, again, it's a one-time usage code. As you become a new customer, you can basically, you know, buy a bunch of domains, you know, sign up for your new account, Geek 199, the code in the checkout bin. And I don't know if they let you do multi-year on that price. I would imagine probably just a year. But anyway, this is a great deal, and it doesn't come around very often, and it will be expiring soon. Matter of fact, if it doesn't work for you, that's when it's end, because they had set a certain limit in the number of usages of that code. And really, you guys are going to find out before I will that the code doesn't work anymore. But anyway, thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here, and we'll see what happens after the purchase. But good luck to the staff over there on their sale, and you think about what they've done. $1 billion is the value. It's crazy. So wow, would you like to cash out on that or what? Privately held company. It definitely is going to be a big score when they basically sell the company. So, but it could mean big change and a little bit of a nervousness on my part. But we'll see. We'll keep on moving here. Hey, tomorrow morning I got a load. Matter of fact, we got to get the kids up early because I've got to take my wife in to get hand surgery. She's got a trigger finger and been waiting a long time to get her surgery. So we've got to be at the hospital at 5:30 in the morning. Why this you guys, this was the first in 610 shows. Some little bug just flew in front of the microphone and I inhaled him. Those of you on the video probably saw me kind of like get wide-eyed, but there's a little protein for you. But anyway, oh my gosh, I can't believe that. He was no bigger than a pinhead, but I still felt him. anyway, take her in the morning, and she gets her fingers worked on at some point in the day, and so the kids are grumbling, I gotta get up at 4:30, because I'm not driving back through the traffic and then bring them. It's they're gonna have to get up and spend probably most of the day in Honolulu waiting for hers to be done. Hey, on the morning tech show we did Saturday, you know, why in the world did I pick 6 a.m. as a starting time here in Hawaii? You know, I really didn't put a lot of thought into that. I thought, I'm going to do a morning show. I got to make it so it's, an accessible time for the guests that we're going to have on. You know, Saturday's tough. People got a lot of stuff going on. I figure, okay, 6 a.m. Honolulu, that's 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. We had a nice little live crowd. It was pretty good. I was pretty happy with it. And had a few glitches. Audio levels, I'm going to get those dialed in for the next show, because I could hear the folks real good, but when I went and reviewed the video, their levels are like way low, so I got to work on that, got to get that fixed up. We had a hum in the system. I found that and got that fixed, so it just proves that I'm not using the Skypeosaurus here very much. You guys can see it over my shoulder. You know, it turned out well, but there can be some room for improvement. So, you know, I'm sure it'll be a couple of shows before I get it all dialed in. And, but anyway, it's fun having Rob Greenlee on from Zune. And he shared a lot of good stuff. And we talked about podcasting a little bit, talked about tech. And it's an hour and 45 minutes. So you thought this show was long. That one was went way long. And of course, Andy McCaskey from SDR News. We talked a little bit about what he's doing, what he's got planned. For those of you who are Slashdot Dig and Reddit fans, you'll know Andy covers a lot of information and what's happening with his show. So we're excited about what Andy's got cooking. And anyway, you guys will check that out. We'll have two new guests on this coming Saturday. So put it in your calendar if you got time to come join us for the morning tech show. We're still going to do the Apple TV giveaway here in about another 14 days, I believe. So if you're not an insider, sign up and become an insider now and get a chance to win an Apple TV. That'll be the giveaway we'll give on the 27th. I've got two of them ordered. One is for me, one is for you. So anyone that signs up as an insider between now and then, and even if it's just $2 a month supporting the show, hey, or a one-time donation, you'll be in there for the win, and we'll give that away. And of course, existing insiders are already included in the actual giveaway. Hey, just to let you guys know, I'm still finishing up I've got one class left after this, and this class I've been in now has been just killer on me. It's a math class, but I had a test this week, and our second test, and we've got a final coming up in 3 weeks, and oh man, 3 hours, 20 questions, and I had 7 minutes to spare when I finished it, and it was one of these things where you get an instant grade, and I thought, oh man, I have failed this thing, because quite honestly, there was like 6 or 7 that I really couldn't figure out, but I'd sit in here and, you know, worked them, and so that looks pretty close, but you know, with math, nothing's close, right? It's not like horseshoes. And said, you know, click the answer that I thought was close. And I got lucky. I got a 95% out of 20 questions. I got missed one. I don't know how it worked out. It probably won't happen again. So I've got to brush up and get ready for the final. But knock on wood, I may end up with a good grade out of this class after all. How? I don't know. But if you haven't had to take a math class in a few years, don't go cold turkey into an advanced math class. It'll sit you back in your seat. A little confession to make here. Some of you may have figured it out that you couldn't download the show last week on Friday. And what has happened, or what did happen, was that for some reason there was a file permission set incorrectly on my server. I would have known never to have allowed the permission level to be where it was at, but a kiddie scripter could have come in and really nailed the server. And so I had to go back and I had to went way, way as far back as I had to go in backups to find basically where the issue occurred. And boy, that directory sit out there for a long time. Luckily, there wasn't anything else that had happened. We did some CRC checks and a number of things to make sure that the database was good, and we made sure that, you know, there was nothing, no other weird code lurking out there. You know, I've got my fingers crossed. We've done a whole bunch of stuff to the server, but they were dropping in code on the RSS feed. It was putting in like 1,100 lines of stuff that an aggregator would have picked up, leading to all kinds of nasty sites. Now, you couldn't see it through like Google Reader, but definitely iTunes choked on the feed. So they hit all the RSS feeds. That's what they hit. And they hit a file that's notorious in WordPress for getting hacked. They did a pretty good job. The average person probably would not have found it, but they used the base 32, and they had it all, the data encrypted. So for me, that kind of was like flash, flash, flash. There's the problem. And, I'm knocking on wood here at this point and hoping that, everything is sealed back up. But that's a first. I don't remember having an issue like this maybe once long time ago, but total rookie mistake on my part. But I've had a server administrator. He's went through the server, and everything's up to date. He's making sure that everything's good. So nothing to worry about for you folks. But with all this stuff, people putting payloads and web pages and stuff, I was just like, oh my God, that's all I need for the website to have been hacked. And for all we can tell, everything looked like it was just tied to the RSS feed. So, but anyway, everything was completely replaced, and went through the database with a fine-tooth comb, and we're good. But that consumed about 4 or 5 hours of my life and 3 or 4 hours of another administrator's life to get it straight, you know, basically making sure we were clean. And but what can you do, right? It's just one of those things that happens, and hopefully it never happens again. Okay, moving on here. And of course, I've covered a lot of stuff here without really getting to the tech. Been looking at the list of gear I'm going to need for the new show, and man, I spent a lot of money last year getting ready for CES and what we were doing ramping up last year. It's not even going to compare. It really isn't to what the extra gear I'm going to have to buy. I'm already glad the TriCaster is paid for, but boy, oh boy, the increase in cameras and lights and everything else that goes along with it. Yeah, I totaled everything up and I was like, good Lord, I could build another studio with all this stuff. But I think what it's going to do is once I have all this stuff in place, it's going to make it easier to do more shows because I'm packaging it so it can be shipped in crates and should make for basically where this whole system can leave and go to a different show and we can set up and do a whole broadcast and then come back. So anyway, we'll see how this turns out, but got that list pretty much built out and the booth drawn and the floor plan made, and I'll share some of that, guys, with you on the Insider on what's going on and when I put an Insider edition together this coming weekend. The email going to our Roku winner from 2 shows ago is bouncing. So I don't know what's going on there. So I'm going to continue to try to reach out to our winner. If he doesn't respond in the next week or two, I may have to re-give that Roku away. But so far, the email is bouncing back to our previous Roku winner. So I'll keep you guys advised on that. All right, let's go ahead and let's take care of the last little business here, and then we'll get into tech. That's what you guys have come for. I've already chatted way too long here. You guys have heard me talk countless times about GoToMeeting. You guys know it's the most convenient way to host an online meeting. Matter of fact, was doing today one for my iPad. I actually had Andy McCaskey at SDR News. He launched his GoToMeeting session. I jumped on it with the iPad, and we were talking about the show design, the actual booth design or the broadcast booth design. And it was kind of cool because I was just sitting in a restaurant and working on that, talking to him on. I actually had him on cell phone to begin with, but I could have talked right through the iPad. But it was really cool. I didn't even have to be in front of my computer to attend a meeting with him and do collaboration. As you guys know, GoToMeeting is brought to you by Citrix, and they have that free, specifically built application for the iPad. And again, it makes online meetings more accessible than ever. With GoToMeeting on your iPad, you can attend on the go and a hotel or wherever you're at, and just download the GoToMeeting app and join sessions on your iPad tablet in seconds. And really, it was seconds. Boom, put the code in, launched it, I was in there. And you can see the host computer on your iPad screen, connect again to the audio through the iPad or even over the phone. As a listener of this show, you get a free 30-day trial. For this special offer, visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Again, GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast for your free 30-day trial. Had a couple more things I wanted to talk about, but I've already went long, so we'll save that to the next show, and I'll let you guys know how things went with my lovely wife during her interactive session. Hey, if you're not following me on Twitter, my Twitter name over there is @GeekNews, so we would hope that you would follow me @GeekNews. Now, let me go ahead and load up Chrome here. And make sure I got the right browser loaded. There we go. Got a pile of stuff for you. All right. How many of you have been to Chattanooga, Tennessee? When I first joined the Navy, I was doing these runs from after I got in the Navy. I went to boot camp in Chicago. This is back in 1983. I'm dating myself. And then after that, I was going to school in Millington, Tennessee. They had Aviation A School there and Aviation Electronic Tech A School. So on long weekends, like 3-day weekends, I would leave Memphis and I would haul butt to Michigan and spend the weekend and then drive back Sunday. But I was going through Chattanooga. And I was low on gas one time. I drove into, actually had a friend with me, and we drove, got off an exit in Chattanooga. Of course, Chattanooga has been famous for, I think, for years, or at least back then, they had this big train depot, Chattanooga Choo Choo or whatever it was. And, but the section of town I pulled off into was really bad. I mean, it was really bad. I was a little bit afraid for my well-being until we got into the right area and everything else. But make a long story short, Chattanooga is now going to be known worldwide to become the home of the first 1 gigabit internet service in the United States. Now, it's only going to be $350 a month, but if you think about this, 1 gig internet in Chattanooga. On September 13th, every business and home that is connected to Chattanooga's fiber optic network will have access to a 1 gig per second internet connection. By the end of the year, this will be to the true to 170,000 businesses and homes in a 600-mile square area. Now, they've got a variety of different services as well, but oh, how cool would that be to have a gig? To have a gig. I'm going to tell you, does anybody on this show live in Chattanooga? Because if you do, we need to talk. Because I think it would be a great way to, how should we say it? Have you as a relay for the show to go to multiple, 1 gig. Now, I don't know what they're going to, they don't tell what the upload speeds are. But a one, you know, most, you're never even going to get the most out of that connection. But wow, just to have bragging rights that you've got that. Oh, that's cool. Now, I guess the only other place you can get 1 gig internet in Stockholm for 900 Swedish, whatever it is, SEK. Someone's going to have to tell me what that is. And, or that's $126. So, okay. Anyway, but imagine that 1 gig. This is covered all over the place. Where I pulled this from tonight was in Gadget. But man, oh man. All right, if you are looking for a family plan for your mobile device and you're not going to do any data, okay, no data, just voice, Walmart is getting into the mobile business. They've teamed up with T-Mobile, and they have basically went to a $45 per month family plan where you get unlimited voice minutes plus unlimited text per month without any contract. And again, that's at least $15 cheaper than T-Mobile's best contract fee. So $45 a month is a big deal. Similar plan with AT&T costs $70. But if you get data, this is where they're going to really hammer you. A single gig of prepaid data through Walmart costs $40. The same plan with AT&T is 2 gigs for $25, or T-Mobile you can get $30 for unlimited data. So this is an interesting move by Walmart to, you know, you guys kind of know my feelings. I'm not a big Walmart fan, and anyway, that's what they're making available through phone plans. But data, the data, again, if you just need a phone, that's good. But data is not meant for those of you and I that's geeks. Now, as I've told you guys in the past, my wife and my daughter we've got two phones on a family plan with T-Mobile. We've just recently lowered the minutes because the daughter's not talking. She's just texting. And my wife doesn't use the voice service very much. But for the first time in years, I've gotten my cell phone coverage, at least for her and my daughter, down around the $80 mark. And that's including an international calling plan and plus a T-Mobile at home service. So it's going to go down another $10 in October when we actually cancel the T-Mobile at home because it's been two thumbs down. It's just sucked. So anyway, that is what is on the game plan here for Walmart, but T-Mobile's got great rates. They really do. Their data stuff isn't so good, but you know, what can you say about that? All right, let's talk just a little bit about today's announcement by the folks at Boxy. They put the Boxy on pre-order. on Amazon. I ordered mine, pre-ordered. $199 is the price. And basically what the folks at Roku have said, excuse me, Boxy have said, is the reason for the delay was they dropped the NVIDIA processor, and they are moving into the just going straight with Intel. And they basically said it was a loading issue, and there was some problems with why is that phone making that buzz over there? We'll move the phone. Oh, I know why. Someone's sending me a text. The so anyway, they say it's going to just have a much more broader it can do H.264, and it's going to have full 1080i. There's a good article in the Washington Post today saying, talking about competition between these devices, and I'll actually bring this up where you guys that are watching on video can see. The okay, did I make that happen? Yep. So what's Washington Post is saying, that competition is going to be stiff for the upcoming Apple TV from both Google, Roku, and Boxy. And I think Roku has a little bit of an edge on Boxy at this point, just because of the offering like Major League Baseball and so forth. But we'll see how long it takes these sports teams to get on these other devices. But you're going to have a lot to choose from here. Apple TV, Google TV, Roku, or Boxy. And let's forget the Pop Box. Those guys are completely... that's my biggest disappointment of the year is the Pop Box. I've got it sitting on a desk. You know, I bought one. And I haven't turned it on in maybe a month. That's, you know, how much confidence I have in those folks right now. So, but anyway, we'll see what happens as this competition heats up for the set-top boxes for your home. Hey, for those of you that are Mario, Super Mario Brothers fans, 25 years ago, 1985, Nintendo released Super Mario Brothers. You guys, you guys, everyone has played Super Mario. If you haven't, then I'm sorry, you have missed a part of America. You know, basically it is an iconic game for sure. And 25 years, and my kids are still playing Mario Brothers, of course, on the PlayStation and so forth, and Wii. So my kids love that game on the Wii. My son goes nuts about it. So, you know, it still has that addictive qualities that it had. But Nintendo is capitalizing on the anniversary by announcing an upcoming collection of classic Mario games that's going to be ported to the Wii. So if you like the old school way, you think about it. For those of you that are younger, I'm going to tell you, that was big. It really, really was. You know, Pac-Man was big, and then it was like Super Mario Brothers. And it really was. It was a big, big deal. All right, let's move on here. Let's talk just a little bit about software that you no longer own. You know, that ninth Citric Court can be a little bit weird. And once again, they have come through for all of us. And I say that very sarcastically. The ninth Citric Appeal Circuit, not Citric, Circuit, the ninth Circuit Appeals Court has destroyed First Sale. You don't own your software anymore. And this is a big one. The folks at Autodesk, the folks that make AutoCAD, won an appeal that basically says that you and I cannot resell licensed software. And the judge basically say, we hold today that a software user is a licensed rather than an owner of a copy, where the copyright owner, one, specifies that the user is granted a license, two, significantly restricts the user's ability to transfer the software, and three, imposes notable use restrictions. Well, I'm going to tell you, Autodesk is the winner on this one. They really are. I've got AutoCAD 2008 on my laptop, and there's no way I can move that onto a desktop without buying another license. So as you remember, last year, this went against Autodesk, and it was really a victory for all of us. So, you know, this case is not over. This is going to be appealed. And I'm sure it's going to go all the way to the top before they figure this out. Hopefully the Supreme Court will set the record straight and reinstate the First Sale right for software so that we're allowed to sell software. Now, software that I buy from some companies is allowed to be resold. And so it specifically has to state that in the license agreement that you can resell. But for right now, this judge has shut this down, and Autodesk has won, and it could be a major change here. Hey, over on Wired, let's move to another topic here. Over here on Wired, the folks from Craigslist is going to be appearing in front of Congress. Now, you know, it's not like the country's in trouble or anything, and Congress doesn't have anything to do, but executives at Craigslist are going to be meeting with to testify to Congress Wednesday. They are basically going to go explain themselves to our federal government after, you know, years of pressure and being badgered by attorney generals across the country. They removed their adult service section for U.S. cities on the eve of Labor Day. So really what this boils down to is the folks over at Craigslist are going to go explain themselves to the government. Now, here's the funny thing. You know, they're going to go talk to the House Judiciary Committee. You know, why doesn't the House Judiciary Committee go out and grab those 5,000 other sites that has exactly the same stuff on it and haul them into Congress and explain why they didn't have their stuff removed as well? And why doesn't the attorney generals go out and go after these other 5,000 other sites that are out there that have these adult services listed? Craigslist was just a big target. So we'll see. We'll see how this turns out. And I don't think it's going to turn out well. You know, again, I'm not saying it's right. And don't take me this the wrong way here. But just makes you wonder just a little bit too. Is okay, they're going to do this. Now, the next thing they're going to ban links to alcohol sales. Are they going to ban, you know, where do they go? You know, where do they go next? So only time will tell. In Moscow, of course, you know, they're known there for having great civil liberties too. The government under, of course, no longer President Putin, but what does he have now? As Prime Minister or whatever he is, he's, you know, really in charge, but, you know, de facto in charge. They the Russian government raided a nonprofit business that was it was a nonprofit company that was working towards essentially they're doing human rights stuff, and but what's gone on there is when the Russians raided this place, they raided them because they said that they were in violation of Microsoft's copyright rules for their software. So this, they went in and seized all their computer gear and everything. So these human rights activists or advocates, all these years of information they had on human rights violations was yanked out of their firm, or yanked out of their company, under the pretense that they were using hacked copies of Microsoft. Now, Microsoft is basically saying they are seeking some sort of legal representation in order to figure out if they can exempt these human rights organizations from this intellectual property laws and rules. Because what they want to do is they want to be clear that they don't want to be accused of being responsible for stifling, you know, this type of human rights type of activity. And there's, and basically these guys were just watchdogs. And so in the meantime here, Microsoft is said to prevent non-government organizations from falling victim to nefarious actions taken in guise of anti-piracy enforcement. Microsoft is going to create a new unilateral software license for NGOs that will ensure they have a free legal copies of our product. We're creating in Russia a new NGO, a legal assistance program focused specifically on helping NGOs document to the authorities that this new software license proves that they have legal copies. So Microsoft says it already operates or donated software programs for NGOs providing software with a market value of more than $300 million over 42,000 NGOs worldwide in the past year. Wow. And Microsoft is seeking to reduce piracy and counterfeiting of software, but wants to do this in a manner that respects fundamental human rights. So I guess we'll applaud Microsoft on this one, and hopefully they can get this squared away. And so of course, that's not going to stop these. They'll find another reason to raid these groups, but at least it won't be blamed back on a U.S. company. So I applaud Microsoft for making this move. But it just goes to show you, at least the government isn't, they do knock doors in and take stuff, but usually they've got a search warrant to do it. I don't watch Oprah, but I guess all guests on the Oprah show today received a mid-level Motorola Defy Android smartphone. It doesn't say what carrier it was on, but they all got one for free. And let's see what else. And of course, in addition, they also got a trip to Australia. Wow, that's amazing. So, no wonder she's picking up the contract. But anyway, Oprah gave away Android today, so I'm sure that was a nice ploy by someone paid for that. That she just didn't get those for free. All right, over on downloadsquad.com, I found this new site to be of interest to me. As you guys know, in the early days when we were distributing this show, we were using a BitTorrent, and a number of you, probably up to 1,000 of you, were actually using this software, or actually using BitTorrent to download the show. And it just became too much of a pain in the butt. It really, really did. But there's a new site called BurnBit. It turns just about any download into a torrent. So all you really got to do is you have to go over there, register the web address of the media file, and they immediately create a torrent for you and seed it. I think this is really, really cool. So all it really does is automatically seeds a file from a URL. Works perfect for podcasting. So I'll see how this works. I'll try to do this for tonight's show and actually make a torrent available. I don't know how many of you will actually use it. But bandwidth costs are going up, folks. And with my video, the bandwidth costs are going up. So we may have to start employing this a little. Of course, there's not too much software out there as far as podcatchers go that use BitTorrent. But I kind of wish they would, to be honest with you. But again, BurnBit. This is at burnbit.com. And an experimental site. So we'll see how this works and probably have the link up in the show notes. Maybe it'll be post-show because I have to post the show, then get the link. So anyway, we'll see how that works out. Here's a good article over on dumblittleman.com. This is the second time I've covered this site in as many shows. How to get fit when you're a couch potato. this is just a little tip for life. I'll have this shared for you guys in the show notes. I got an email this morning from the folks at Energizer talking about a new inductive charger, and they sent me the info over. And usually on these PR emails, I really don't react to too many of them just because, the PR folks are, many times they're, the stuff is junk. But I'm pretty familiar with these inductive chargers, and they've made a lot of headway in the last couple of years. But I want to thank Mike for putting up the article. I just put this out to our writers. I said, hey, whoever wants to write on this, fire away. And he did a real nice article on it. So check out the new Energizer inductive chargers with QI technology. This is some stuff that's moved over from some of these companies we've talked to at CES in the past. And Mike did a good job on this article. But anyway, great way to charge your phone without having to plug it into something. You have just this inductive pad. And another great article that was written by Alan, one of our contributing editors at Geek News Central, was on Leech Pack. And this is for those of you that are looking to, basically get big files up and shared with other people. And so if you want to share large files, then the email really isn't the choice here. And most email services limit you to 10 megs. But LeechPack is cloud storage, so that you can quickly download files from most of the major file hosting services. And it also handles secure downloading of torrents as well. So this is a pretty cool service, and thanks for Alan for bringing this to our attention. There's a lot of these little companies like this that are, have bounced out. And, of course, if you haven't seen the posting yet, of course, we've got the morning show post up. Of course, I've got my – you guys will notice that the video on this page is a little different. It's not from YouTube. And that was because the file size for the video was was 1.3 gigs. So a little big. YouTube limits me to a 1 gig upload. Just got to figure out a way to make this long show go up on YouTube, because they do a better encoding job than the folks over at Blip TV do. But anyway, that's available on the website. Hey, let's talk just a second here about Google Power Meter. And we talked about this earlier in the year, and actually we were introduced to it in January, and I haven't heard too much about this, but some of your communities and some of your devices now are basically, you can monitor what's going on with your power usage. So there's a list here of manufacturers and also power companies that are working with Google Power Meter. And what this is, it's a free energy monitoring tool that helps you save really energy and money. It allows you to track what's going on with your home usage. And, you know, you get a nice quick snapshot every day of what's going on with your power usage. So, oh, that thing popped up. But anyway, more information on this, and there's a link at the bottom of the page that shows you all the compatible companies and devices that are working with Google Power Meter. And I think this is exciting. I think at some point, everything that we have will probably be linked to some sort of, you know, some sort of measurement device, and we'll be able to tell, you know, how efficient or non-efficient those particular items are. In one of the articles I talked about at the beginning of the show, told you what we'd be covering is the YouTube live video. And essentially what YouTube is doing, has done Monday and Tuesday, is that they have worked with four content providers: Howcast, Next New Networks, Rocket Boom, and Young Hollywood. I know who the Howcast folks are. I don't know who Next New Networks is. I know who Rocket Boom is. But YouTube worked with these. These are usually real high hit videos. They've basically do some live stream offerings, doing some tests to see how their infrastructure handles the load. And I was really excited because I thought, oh, come on, YouTube. Come on, come on, come on. Do live, do live, do live. And because what we would do is we would just add another stream. We were pushing to Justin, we're pushing to Ustream, and we would just push to YouTube. And it would be cool because I could just record on YouTube. And then as soon as I got done, boom, it's there. It's saved. It's on the site. I don't have to upload nothing. It's perfect. I thought, awesome. And saved me a lot of time and uploads and the whole nine yards. And I'm thinking about what we're going to do at the show for Vegas and everything. I'm thinking, man, we can get our stuff up. Boom, boom, boom. And no, this is only for partners. And it's only a test. Well, I run ads in my show. Shh, shh, shh. And for videos to be on YouTube, shh, shh, we're not supposed to have ads in the shows. I'll probably be bounced. Someone's going to watch this. I'm going to get crushed. So to apply for a partner, you, how should I say, would bring attention to oneself. And I can be guaranteed that the money that the advertisers pay on this show would be a lot more than what Google would ever, or YouTube would ever pay. So maybe it's not a big deal, but boy, I sure would be greedy enough to want to have, the ability to stream to YouTube. Really, you know what's kind of weird? I don't even know why I bother. I don't even know why I bother posting the show to YouTube, because I think the videos are getting like 50 or 60 views. So it's not like it's this big number. It's not. It's not even a really a decimal point on the total viewership of this show. And now, don't get me wrong. I know you're watching on YouTube, and you know you like it there. But let's be honest. Everyone subscribes to the show, and or they watch it live at Geek News Central. That's where the majority of the stuff comes. Now, great view you're pointing on Roku, and gosh, you guys are just like rocking the house. So, you know, I guess it's just about distribution, getting the word out there. So I'm hoping you're watching on YouTube. You come over to geekandcentral.com and subscribe. And that way you automatically get the show. But anyway, you guys think it'd be cool to stream on YouTube? Would you guys like that? I know I would. Love to hear thoughts and feedback on that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Hey, let's talk just a little bit. I had to laugh because there's a great article here on Slashdot talking about a school professor. He's a college physics professor, and he is all upset about modern technology invading his classroom. He says, my students want to use calculators during exams, and some of them whose native language is English also want to use electronic dictionaries. Oh my gosh, forbid. He says, I had a Korean student who was upset and dropped the course when I told her she couldn't use her iPod during the exam. She said she used it as a dictionary. And this guy obviously doesn't have a clue. He goes, it gets tough for me to distinguish network devices, iPhone, iTouch, from non-network ones, calculator, electronic dictionary, iPod. I give open notes exams, so it's not memory that's an issue, it's networking. Currently, our classrooms have poor wireless receptivity, no Wi-Fi, possible cell depending on your carrier, but as of the spring of 2011, we will have Wi-Fi everywhere. Forbid. He says, what's the best way to handle this? I'd prefer not to make them all buy the same overpriced graphing calculator. But he says, I'm thinking of buying 30 El Cheapo four-function calculators out of my pocket, but I'm afraid that less capable students or adaptable students will be unable to handle the switch from calculator they know how to an unfamiliar but simpler one. Well, let me show you guys something. Oh, where is the thing at? Where did I throw it? For those of you that are listening, what I'm holding in my hands is a Texas Instrument TI Inspire. Have you seen this thing? It comes with two keyboards. If you haven't got one of these for your students, this thing rocks. Now, there's one keyboard, and here's the other one. And I've only used the scientific portion of it. Actually, I only had to switch in this part once in a while. This thing is amazing. And my last calculator was a TI something. It didn't do graphing. And they sell varying models of these, TI-84. But if you really know how to use this, man, you know, this professor doesn't want this calculator in his classroom because you can load programs in it. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to think about this. But, you know, when I've gotten stuck on problems, they've got these software programs now, Algebrator 2. They got physics applications. They got trig geometry programs. And they're not perfect. You know, you put the formula in, it calculates, and it steps you through, and it tells you what it's doing. But it's always, you know, you always have to provide, you know, your work back for your homework and everything else, and it's not the same way. At least my stuff has never come out the way my professors want it. So I've had, you know, you still have to go through, but at least he kind of says, okay, here's knucklehead. Here's where you're making your mistake. And this thing's awesome. I mean, absolutely awesome. And I don't know how long the program's been around, to be quite honest with you. But for me, Algebrator 2, the physics application, the geometry one, man, they were worth every penny because there was times, and I was taking online classes, totally stuck. Didn't know what to do next. No one to call. You know, got to send an email to the professor. Maybe 3 days later, get a response. You know, I'm trying to work through this. I'm watching the videos that they provide. And I got this big, you know, 900-page book that weighs 15 pounds on my desk. So I load the application up. I punch the formula in. I'm going, oh, that's what they meant. I'm able to finish things up. We live, obviously, for math. And if you're going to be an engineer or anything that uses, you know, you have to do statistics and that type of stuff, you need the math skills. You got to know how to at least put the stuff together. But, you know, there's stuff that you can get stuck on today and you just Google and, you know, boom, it brings you up a page. Even if it's your regular job and you need to figure out something, you, at least it can do this, like re-engage your brain on how it's supposed to work. Because let's be honest, most of us build spreadsheets out, and once we get it done forever. And so what are they going to do in the classroom? You know, I don't let my kids use the Algebrator or this program. I want them to get that basic algebra stuff because, you know, they're just doing, you know, freshman high school math. I want them to get that in their head. But at some point, you know, the world is changing. We're in a digital world. You still need those some fundamentals. But I'd love to hear you guys' feedback on what you think this professor should do. Should he embrace technology? I don't know. Or should he buy the 30L cheapo four-function calculators and make them do it old school? First of all, you know, I've done all my classes online. And doing stuff online is much, much harder than going to school. But I guarantee you one thing, I've learned it all because I had to. I really have. So anyway, enough on that. Love to hear you guys' feedback on this this dilemma that this professor's facing today in the in our modern world. Over on GigaOM, broadcasters keep viewers on site, get more social. There's a study done by the folks over at TubeMogul, and I like TubeMogul until they got too expensive for me to afford to use them. But they basically said in this TubeMogul research report, that reported that viewers watch more broadcast content on site on the particular site. In other words, if they went over to Hulu or went over to CBS or wherever it was, than what they found through social networking sites. Viewers watch more videos from broadcasters than any other media. And that just makes me go, a little bit. It really does, because let's think about that for a second. And it kind of goes to sense that they would watch more from the major broadcasters out there. They said broadcasters served up 406 million video streams online in the second quarter, which was 25% increase year over year. The research also pointed to a distinction between the amount of video that was viewed on broadcast sites versus through embedded players. Viewers spent 50% more time watching videos on broadcast sites as they watch through offsite video players. So that was kind of cool. They got this neat graph where it shows the stack up, and I'll have that linked up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. A site today that Brian, our creative director at Raw Voice, turned on to me was called Ivy. It's a Seattle-based company. And I really, in all honesty, I have no idea how these folks are getting away with this without going to be shut down by the big broadcast companies. Ivy TV allows you to watch TV on your computer, and check this out. Here are some of the shows that you can get on this application. Well, let me turn that overlay off. NCIS on CBS, House on Fox, Bones on Fox, Grey Anatomy on ABC, Criminal Minds on CBS, One Tree Hill on CW, Lie to Me on Fox, Gossip Girl on the CW, Fringe on Fox, The Gates New on ABC, Glee on Fox, NFL, Major League Baseball, PGA, NHL, NASCAR, Major League Soccer, NBA, WNBA, college football, tennis. First of all, you can watch this on your computer. 30 days for free, $4.99 a month after that. NFL, Major League Baseball, PGA, NHL, NASCAR. I know the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NASCAR, they are going to, if this company isn't getting this content legal, they're done. They are done. So maybe what we'll do is we'll watch IVI.TV for a few days to make sure they don't get crushed. But I have no idea how they're offering this up on the computer. They're taking broadcasts from local broadcast stations and re-putting it on the computer. No delays, no buffering or waiting. We do internet television right. What do you guys think? Do you think they're going to last? I don't think so. I really don't. Hey, over on OGizmo, they've got a great, basically it's a pictorial, the origins of programming in an infographic. And this is cool. Did you guys know the first computer programmer was a woman? But you didn't know that, did you? Did you guys know the first programming was actually done in 1801? You probably didn't know that. You do now. Anyway, link on this will be up in the show notes. You guys can check it out. It's by ogizmo.com. Hearing about SmartFinger? It's a little device you put on your finger, and you can make measurements with it. Boy, I'm sure this is going to sell really, really well, especially it outputs its measurements in metric. So if you're looking to measure something with your fingers, it'll do that. Just check it out. I'll have it up linked up in the show notes. I'll be first to run right out and grab one of these for sure. Hey, a new Kindle ad is taking huge jabs at the iPad. Basically shows two people at a pool, one with a Kindle, one with an iPad. You can see the person with an iPad having trouble reading their device. And that's true. Put your sunglasses on outside and try to read your iPad. Just try. Go do it. Sit out in the chair outside. Doesn't have to be at the pool. And you might be surprised on how little you can really read on the iPad screen. But you try to do that with the Kindle, no sweat. You can wear your shades and read the Kindle, no problem. Sitting out the pool doesn't matter. Hey, Clear is supposedly coming to L.A. and New York City, portions of it at least, over the next couple of weeks. So if you lived in specific areas within the city, you can now sign up for Clear in L.A. and in New York City. So 4G pre-launch is upon us. So for those areas, again, my Clear is still not working. Tonight, I just tried to reload the page, and it's sitting there spinning and looking at me. So I have to call them or find out what's going on with their service. I'll be first to admit, though, it's the first time it's had issues in a long time. Yeah, Progress spacecraft docked with the International Space Station today, carrying nearly 2.5 tons of supplies. And this is MO7M. And docking took place automatically. They had no issues. So they got some fresh fruit and supplies up there. Hey, a little bit of a hint that Google TV is going to be officially launching on October 17th. So that was in some documents that were found, and it looks like it's going to be up and available. That took a two-week slide because of something going on, I believe, with the folks at Logitech. So we'll see what happens here, but expect Google TV October 17th. Hey, the big news out of Intel today was the announce of the Sandy Bridge. And what this is it's their upcoming new processor that should make NVIDIA shake in their boots. This is the next generation Intel chip, fully overclockable, has a high bandwidth, last level cache. It's got a new generation processor graphics card built into it. It's got an embedded display port, discrete graphics support. It's got all kinds of stuff. Substantial improvement of over their other chips. And you're going to have, of course, a multi-core. But what it really is focusing on is the graphics bit. They're really, really, and basically they're trying to put a package together that draws less power for your laptops and so forth. And this is going directly. I mean, this is a direct attack against the folks at NVIDIA, and after losing the deal to the folks at Boxy, that's two major hits. This is going to be tied into the Core i3, i5, and i7. This new chip's going to be available sometime in the spring of 2011, and the new chip's going to be featuring the 32 nanometer architecture for everything is tied into this chipset. So I don't know if this means it's going to be a new socket or what, but expect to see these rolling out in the spring. Hey, if you've been looking to get a TiVo, you got to act really, really fast. And they've got a deal out. TiVo's trying a limited test of free on-contract DVRs. In other words, you get the DVR for free. You pay $19.99 a month for 2 years, and basically that's it. Then, but here's a challenge. after the 2 years, your rate doesn't go down to $12.95, which is the normal fee for DVR. You stay at the $19.99 rate. So once you figure this out, you may pay more over the time for the DVR, but if you don't have the money up front, this is a great way to do it. So really all you got to do, here's the trick on this. You'll save a little money if you go with the month-to-month plan, and you buy it this way, then you remember it 2 years to call and cancel, then you call and reactivate. That's what I would do. And that way you won't lose that extra $7 a month after 2 years, but you got to remember to set yourself a note in the calendar to call them and make sure that you make the move. Hey, we talked about white space quite a bit last year, actually maybe even earlier this year, but the FCC has is set to approve the use of the unlicensed airwaves that in between television stations. The TV stations, of course, are not happy, but the good old white space is really going to get some action here. Now, this has been long, long, long delayed. But opening up this spare spectrum that resides between the TV channels' broadcasting frequencies is going to be a boon to small companies that have been looking to utilize that bandwidth, that frequency spectrum. And I believe it's going to be open. They're not going to sell it. It's going to be open. So we'll see how this turns out. But they're going to have to go into a database to identify themselves and where their frequency they're on and the whole nine yards so that, you know, there's some sort of at least a little bit of control. But there's been some test sites already in Virginia and North Carolina. But we'll see what happens as now that this is mulling being opened up. Hey, here's a piece of advice for you, and this made the news circuits today. If you are out drinking, and first of all, if you're out drinking, never ever write an email. And if you are outside of the United States and you're out drinking, don't ever write an email to the president and blast him using expletives. Don't swear at him. Don't cuss at him. Apparently, some 21-year-old in the UK wrote a letter, wrote an email while intoxicated to the president. And he was paid a visit by British authorities who discussed the issue with him. And then he was informed that he was banned for life from the United States. I didn't even know this existed. This guy got a lifetime ban from the United States. He cannot come to America. No way. No, a lifetime ban? I mean, you can't come here? I didn't even know that they did this. I didn't even know that existed. But apparently there are 60 reasons, 60, that a person can be barred from entering the United States. I'd like to see that list. Does anybody know where we can get that list? I would love to talk about that on the show. 60 things that, you know, he says, I don't care, but he's 21. He, you know, of course he doesn't care at 21. But imagine you're working for a company. We need you to go to America to do a business meeting 10 years later. I can't. What do you mean you can't? I'm banned from America. Well, why are you banned from America? Wrote a letter to the president of the United States and cussed him out. Are you guys getting, those of you that live outside the United States, have you ever heard of such a thing? And does your country have the same type of deal? Have you heard people getting banned for sending your prime ministers and your, you know, your state, your heads of state? Oh my gosh. Oh, surprised. Hey, good news. There's more people consuming news, but guess what? They're doing a lot of it online, as to be expected. And I got three articles here at the end of the show that talk about RSS being dead. Google Reader saying RSS is not dead. Usage is up. They didn't say how much. The folks, Robert Scoble saying RSS is dead. Giga Oma saying, no, RSS is not dead. Dave Weiner says, you got it all wrong. We all need to reboot RSS and do it a different way. I think they're all wrong. The RSS is so flexible. People can use it the way they want to use it. Obviously, it could be improved. News could be a little, because they update stuff could be a little bit faster, but it is what it is. And we're getting ready to add some namespaces to RSS for our PowerPress plugin. We're doing some integration stuff, some stuff that's going to be really cool. Should get a lot of good press, maybe. But I don't think Google Reader's bad. Of course, I'm a geek, you know. But you guys think RSS is dead? Are you guys still using a Google Reader? Or are you going to TechMeme? Are you using Twitter? You know, Robert's go, I get all my news on Twitter. Yeah, because he's got 55,000 people following him that send him direct messages of cool stuff. I don't have 55,000 people calling. I have 5,200 people following me that once in a while I get cool stuff. And if I don't watch my email, I miss the direct message, you know? So, you know, where are you guys getting your news? Where are you guys getting your information? Are you using the Flip app on the iPad? Or, how are you guys doing your getting your news yourselves these days? So that's really kind of the question for the end of the show, geeknews@gmail.com. Where are you getting your news? And I'd love to hear your feedback on it for sure. Okay. Let me go ahead here and play. You got two voicemails. You got one from Trucker Tom and one that I don't know who it's come from because I didn't listen to it already. Hopefully it's not for the morning show. But let me go ahead and play these, and then we'll get into the email comments after that. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Here comes the first voicemail.
Todd, this is Bruce Barr, otherwise known as Mr. Gadgets here in Kansas City. I was listening to your show where you were asking about doing an MRI scan on a child to test their brain development. I actually had a story. It wasn't a very funny story at the time, and isn't really a very funny story now that I think about it. My two daughters are a lot older than your kids. In fact, one's off to graduate school, my youngest, and my oldest daughter is teaching school. She's starting in her third year of teaching second graders.
Great.
I believe it was my older daughter, but one of the two of them, my wife took them in for, you know, the normal kinds of checkouts that you have during the first year of life. And sometime during that first year, we took her into the doctor's office, and the nurse, would take just normal measurements. We're not talking about an MRI here. Just take normal measurements like the head size and, the length and things like this when they're a baby. Well, she took a measurement of the head size, and all of a sudden my wife said she got very nervous and fidgety, and she left, and the doctor came in, and he had this terrible look on his face, and he was telling my wife that our child was hydrocephalic. And my wife just didn't believe him, and he was showing her on the chart. And she said, well, you have her come in and you have her measure right now. And so the doctor left and the nurse came back in to measure. And when she measured, my wife noticed that she was actually using the tape measure the wrong way was not actually measuring. She was measuring it backwards so that the measurement was way larger than it should have been because she was reading it the wrong direction. Oh, man, you don't think it didn't hit the fan. Anyway, enjoy the show, and look forward to trying to catch the Saturday show maybe sometime. This is last week, but talk to you later. Bye.
Hey, thanks for the call. And so they measured your child's head the wrong way. Of course, they've got those reversible, I know what it was. It's one of those like loose strips, and if you 1 to 12 on one side, 12, you know, basically it's backwards. So how did she do that? She get it crossed or something? But in the, that would just about freak you out, wouldn't it? But I understand the whatever hitting the fan. But don't worry, they're going to be putting our kids in MRI machines, and they're going to be measuring them digitally here soon, okay? So, all right, the next voicemail is from Trucker Tom, and he's got a comment on the set-top box conference discussion that I had. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. Tom Wiles here, a.k.a. Trucker Tom. Two things regarding the set-top box conference sort of struck me as I was listening to you talk about it. Number one, the people that were attending that were not geeks. They're there because of the money.
Yep.
They're not geeks in the same sense that you're a geek and kind of into technology, and I'm a geek and I'm into technology, or many of your listeners are geeks and they're into technology. It sounds like the people, most of the people that were attending that set-top box conference did not really care so much about the technology, just because they were into technology. Secondly, they're there because they've had this monopoly in the past, especially broadcasters, had a monopoly. It was produced billions and billions and billions and billions worth of dollars, worth of revenue. In the past, that model is now threatened, and so they are in the process of trying to figure out how to keep that model viable, keep it working, and as such, they're kind of a wounded animal, and therefore, even though the model is breaking, the revenue's going down, they've still got lots of money and lots of influence. And they can probably retard the marketplace. They can retard what's going to happen. They can slow it down. They can't stop it. I believe that eventually whatever's going to happen in a marketplace will happen, regardless of what people try to do to stifle competition or to stop it. You know, whatever's going to happen will eventually happen. So in any case, keep up the great work. We'll catch you later.
Hey, Tom, thanks for that. I'll be honest with you. There was this underlying current of fear, but I don't even want to, it just, you could tell there was nervousness in this group. They didn't say that, but you're right. They've got the money. They've got government behind them. They've got control, monopoly. Do I have to say monopoly again? It's, you know, if there isn't a monopoly here in Hawaii, then there isn't one anywhere. What's going to happen is the millennials are really changing the dynamic. It's going to take some time, but, they are going to have to change their model completely, absolutely completely. All right, Tom, thanks for the call, and, always love your comments and, of course, your articles that you put up at GNC as well. All right, let me go ahead and get into the emails. So I got an email from Brian. He says, hey, Todd, Tea Party allies with telecom industry to dump net neutrality. Tea Party activists are doing their best to kill net neutrality, convinced the FCC is plotting to take over the internet, and companies like AT&T are repaying the favors with big donations. Read more at businessinsider.com. Here's what it boils down to, Brian. You know, both sides of the political spectrum, right or left, they have their agendas. And I think no matter where you lay your political feelings at, is that there's got to be some center synergy that we have to be able to come to for issues like this. And it really, net neutrality should not be a political issue, but unfortunately it is, especially the way some people think that net neutrality is going to be implemented. Some people think it's going to be a way to, if net neutrality rules are put in effect, some people think that what that will ultimately do is bring in, you know, more control about the government, about what's being put on the internet, what moves back and forth, where other people think that the net neutrality is going to, you know, protect our interests. I think there's valid points on both sides. I really do, because, you know, you look at some of the stuff that has happened over the years. As all of us, we just need to explain, you know, and be sure that we submit our questions and comments to our senators and stuff on how we feel about net neutrality, irregardless of, you know, if you're a Republican or Democrat or independent or libertarian or whatever, it shouldn't matter. But interesting article by the Business Insider. I'll have this link up in the show notes. Brian, thanks for that. And I'm sure we could probably have another article that would come in and say something about what some liberal group is doing. But, you know, I take all your guys' comments at face value. And I'm sure we'll probably get two or three from someone else on the other side of the fence. I don't want to make the show political at all. But I think as all of us as technology users, we just have to voice our opinions one way. And it really, in order to do that, we need to speak out. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican or a Democrat. You need to speak your opinion and then let the cards fall where they may. And I think if there's enough pressure by constituents on their representatives, then, you know, we'll sway it one way or the other. I don't think with all the lobby money that's going into Congress, you know, we have to work doubly hard to make sure that the net neutrality as we feel it should be is what is enacted or legislated, or hopefully at some point not even left alone, but only time will tell. I got an email from Nick. He said, "Hey, Todd, it's me, Nick, the Wonder Puppy." Okay. Virgin Mobile now offers unlimited 3G internet for just $40 a month. Could you check this out and let us know how good it is? If it's good, I'll get this for my doghouse. He says, GoDaddy is for sale for about $1 billion. Now, that's a lot of dog biscuits. Do you know if Dana is also included? I don't think so. And last, the morning show. Please let the dog have a spot on the show. Ruff, ruff. And what this is referred to is my doggy was barking during the show, and he's usually sleeping, but that morning he was awake. He's an old dog. He sleeps a lot. He's in here tonight sleeping. But anyway, hey, got an email from Terrence. He says, "Hey, Todd, fastest broadband in America coming to Chattanooga, Tennessee." He says, "I don't see you giving up your life in Hawaii anytime soon, but maybe this will tempt you." Terrence, do you live in Chattanooga? Oh, boy. I tell you, if I ever do leave Hawaii, you can be guaranteed one thing. I will go where there's fast internet. That will be in the, that'll be the number one thing I tell the realtor. No internet, no high speed, no sale. Got an email here from Tom as well. It says, "Robotics breakthrough scientists make artificial skin." And I think I covered this on the last show, but biotech wizards have engineered electronic skin that can sense touch, and a major step towards next generation of robotics and prosthetic limbs. Lab tested material response to almost the same pressure as human skin with the same speed. They reported in the British Journal of Natural Materials. So I'll have this linked up in the show notes. This is a good one. Thanks for that, Tracker Tom. Now I gotta share this, guys, with you. You guys are gonna have to listen here. This email came from a listener of ours. And have you ever felt, this came from Tim, have you ever felt like this? Okay, here, we got to make sure I got the right, yeah, here we go, here we go.
No!
That was from Star Wars. Have you ever just felt like yelling, no? And I think we all do that from time to time. That's how I felt when I figured out that, someone had been messing somewhere in my server that they shouldn't. I was like, no. And if I just blew your ears out, I'm sorry. Got an email from Alan. He says, "Stunning amateur images win an astronomy photograph of the year." Man, you know, this is stunning, Alan. And the question is, it looks Photoshopped to death. Was this a real picture? This is amazing. If this wasn't Photoshopped, I see why it deserves to win. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for that. Hey, I got an email here. I try to wrap the show up from this tonight. Nick sent me an email. "I read your book about podcasting, do-it-yourself guy. I'm very interested in doing a podcast. I'm already working on my show. I was wondering if it could be any expert tips to a newbie. Just so you know, it's going to be called beep. I don't want to say what it is. And I'm not entirely sure what I want to do it on. I'm still working on that part. So do you have any tips?" Nick, you got it. Whatever you do, here's the key. You got to be passionate about the subject. It's something you really like to talk about. It's something that you can talk about on demand. Really, that's what it's got to be about. Because if you don't do that, if you're not passionate about it, you will make it 7 shows. That's all the further you're going to make it. Because you got to think about, do I have enough material to talk week after week about the topic? Is it something that's new, that's refreshing, that there's something new to talk about? Because that's the key to longevity, is being able to be passionate and have an integrated, that's what it's all about, okay? And that's what's kept me going for 610 shows, is I'm passionate about tech. I love talking about it. I love sharing my opinion and digging out cool stuff. So that's how it boils down to, okay? That's the best advice I can give you. Got an email from Taryn. He says, "Hey, Todd, where's the beef?" He says, "I decided to try listening to September 10th show today on my Palm Pre via Stitcher. When I started listening, I kept waiting for the show host to start talking about tech news, which is what I started listening to the show for in the first place. After a couple of minutes of talking and talking and talking, but no tech news, I started wondering if you'd actually just pulled up a show promo and advertising audio files, guys, as a tech show. After 6 minutes, I had to keep listening just to see how long it took before I heard first bit of tech news. Are you ready? It was 10 minutes and 32 seconds before the first tech news. Now, I don't know who you think your target market is, but I can't listen to 10 minutes of promoting show air dates and times along with advertising. That's worse than broadcast television. I listen while driving my car, 20 to 30 minute intervals, so maybe a little less rambling, a little less us. Be more precise and get the content in there quickly. Just a bit of advice from one of your potential first-time listeners. I sat in my car once I reached my destination just to hear when the show would actually start, and then I decided to write this email immediately afterwards, so I still have to hear the show. Much luck to you and your show. I look forward to actually hearing it. Take care, Taryn. That's the beauty. This is the way the show is. It's the way it's been for 610 episodes. Tonight, I went 18 minutes talking about other stuff, but there was some tech intermixed. But we're an hour and 21 minutes. Lots of great tech. I hope you enjoyed the show, Taryn, and I'm glad that you're part of the Ohana. Thanks for being part of the family, and we welcome you. Just hit the fast forward button next time. Go past the 10 or 12 minute mark and look for me to start tech if that's where you're at. But I get one of these emails and 100 of the others that say don't change a thing. So, we love you anyway, and thanks for being part of the audience. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for being with me. We're really long, but thanks for hanging out with me, and we'll see you on Friday or Thursday night if you come watch the live show. Thanks for being here. Thanks for staying subscribed, being part of the Ohana Geek News at gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is area code 619-342-7365. Available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your commenting pleasure. All right, everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Take care. And aloha.